Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Running Commentary listeners. How nice.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. We haven't seen each other for weeks.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, actually, we saw each other a couple of weeks ago, but it was momentary and it was traumatic, but we'll get to that.
we'll talk about that.
But welcome. It's good to see you. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Well, since that day, which we'll effortlessly segue to later in the show,
yeah.
I haven't actually done any running because it was just post. I ended up going to the dentist and I've been hurting with a tooth. I had a tooth pain for about a week, 10 days before I saw you.
Yeah.
Taking increasing amounts of painkillers and I needed root canal treatment.
Yeah.
And
great. That must have been great news.
That was really good news. And it's really hard work, root canal.
Brilliant yoga over here.
And it's quite scary at the moment because due to COVID protocols, which are entirely understandable, the dentist looks like Darth Vader coming in with a drill.
Right, yeah.
He literally wears a black mask with these weird sort of funnels. You're there with your mouth itself covered by rubber.
Yeah.
And then with root canal they just drill and
he uses, doesn't he? He uses a kind of laser sword.
Yes, yeah. And speaks in this really weird voice.
I was going to say that must be absolutely terrifying and really bad, except for the odd, very few people who'd absolutely love the whole deal. But it was another story.
It's the slow sort of slightly existential confrontation of having your teeth sort of drilled away at.
Oh my God.
And the smell of burning.
Oh, God, no, that's
just... It's just like...
trigger warning, jeez.
It's hard work. It's really hard work.
Yeah, yeah. But did it make it better? Are you better?
It's actually hard to say because I think so, but I've had a few days since where I've had earache, headaches. It's going right into the root of your tooth, so...
Oh, my word.
It just affects everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a little bit...
It's been a tough time.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a tough time, yeah. But it was... And what with that and the odd drinking at big game days.
Yeah, it's Wednesday after the Sunday before,
yeah.
Which of course was when England did not quite win Euro 2020.
Yeah. So
and what an amazing tournament it was, and I know it was a huge emotional journey for you. Did it feel and how do you feel now?
It was, and of course I had to self-isolate for 10 days as well.
Oh God, I'd forgotten about that.
Because my son, youngest son, tested positive, so on the Sunday, so this was the first day out.
Was he the only family member who hadn't had it? You got the set.
I don't know whether George has had it yet. I don't know. I don't think he's had it.
Right.
But I'm here with several negative tests, so...
Great, and how's...
And he's fine, he was absolutely fine.
Yeah, that's good. I realised before I did my gag, I should have maybe checked that.
But it meant that I couldn't see the final with loads of people.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny, because obviously I get really, really into the football.
I don't know. I've noticed that even though it's important to you, you remain entirely emotionless, like an automaton.
Well, it was weird.
That's accurate, isn't it?
It was weird because it is accurate. It was weird because when we got through, when we won the semi-finals, I wept.
Yeah, yeah.
I just lost it.
Yeah,
it's quite embarrassing.
And I feel, you know, I cry reasonably often. I feel in general I shouldn't think you're that much of a weeper.
I find myself weeping more as I get older. But
it's because you're becoming more and more emotionally sophisticated.
Yeah, but I tend not to weep at football. But the defeat...
So just a little detail, this bit of Goodsell Park, I just ran down this path. It's one of those new sort of lockdown paths that's...
It is, hasn't
it? It's appeared,
yeah.
And it's really nice. There's wood chips on one side of the path. And then
through.
There's this kind of... On the grass, there's this.
This is nice, yeah,
really
yeah, yeah.
Nice. So I wanted to show it to you. But anyway, sorry.
Something else being chiseled through. But the defeat, I was sort of okay with. Obviously, you've got like the brutal and compelling spectacle of penalties, but I kind of knew we were going to lose penalties.
Yeah.
They were just better than us at football.
Yeah.
So I can take that.
And penalties have that. I mean, obviously, it's a brilliantly dramatic way to end, and it has to end. But they're so, so tense, and they're so arbitrary. It's a
they would be arbitrary if we didn't lose so much at penalties. Do you know what I'm saying? When people say it's a lottery,
yeah.
If it's a lottery, it's one that we usually lose.
Yeah, like Rosencrantz and Gordon throwing heads every time.
I just think that the Italians had a massive keeper, and Southgate made some wrong choices. And too much pressure on people who just entered the game, and just poor guy Saka took the last penalty. Hasn't taken a penalty in senior football.
No, right.
And that's his first penalty.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
To me, that's just bad management. But anyway, that's football schmutmall. But it was a fantastic tournament.
Yeah.
And I think the... but there was something building during the day. I said to my kids before they were going to go into town, because they've been staying at other people's house since it all happened with Rudy.
Yeah.
I said, today's going to get ugly. It just is. I could just feel it.
You feel it, yeah, that's right.
And they went to a pub semi-final day, and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And they went to the same one on final day. People were queuing from 6 a.m. to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a bus stop that unloaded right outside the pub, so people were coming from the bus stop and just jumping the queue.
Yeah.
And it was just like... So they went into town. They went into Leicester Square.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a certain... rowdiness that's quite exhilarating sometimes. There's a certain raucousness.
Yeah, you see, there's a line, isn't there?
There's a line
of where it's all fun and exciting.
There's a line.
And then suddenly it all turns and everything's a bit lawless and wild and it starts to feel like the purge.
Yeah, yeah, well, I read someone on Twitter said that it's easy to forget, and it's something I constantly do, that there's a small but loud section of people in life who are just thunderously thick.
Yeah.
They just want to cause trouble.
Yeah, and also
and it's
I think
a real
that
shame.
Not just to also kind of quite actively embracing a bad energy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
obviously in terms of kind of, I don't know, bigotry and racism, but even at a sort of lower level, I noticed, because I was on a train on Saturday night and the partying was definitely more than usual. It was like it had already begun.
Yeah.
Young guys doing some incredibly... we use this word so much, but some incredibly performative drinking and messing around on the train.
Yeah.
It's like, God, it's just...
It's
and then, when I was in town on Saturday afternoon,
right,
and just big gangs of young men who just had that glint in their eye of wanting trouble, you know? They just somehow... joked just now about emotional... literacy.
There's
something about this kind of, you know, because loads of people, of course, it was a huge thing. There's people everywhere really looking forward to this really important time. There's also just the contingent of gangs of solidly male guys.
Yeah.
You know, outside sort of little supermarkets, but just kind of in... And not in a way that related to
like,
the football
it's
directly,
like,
you know?
I think it sounds a bit deep, but it feels like on some level... psychologically we can't actually handle the idea of winning something and we're already laying the sort of seeds of our defeat during the day.
It just
felt like too much, the whole thing. I mean, you've got people bumping into it, jumping in. To be fair, some of my kids' mates were doing that before the final, so I knew it was going to be a problem, because just like the pub on semi-final day, word gets round and that escalates. So once people start getting in the early rounds, it's going to be massive on the final, and they didn't police it very well.
No.
It's really badly policed.
No, and it reminded me, I was just reminded of the sequence in Roddy Doyle's The Van.
Right.
And that's when it's based in real life, and Ireland have a good run in a tournament.
Yeah.
I can't remember what tournament, what year. But it's exactly that. It's that, like, when they have their breakthrough game that no one expects them to win, it's like a joyous moment that everyone shares.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's not at the end of their tournament run. It's just not how it plays out in that game of cycling. You know? I remember England winning 4-0 against Holland in Euro 96.
Yeah, 4-1 against Holland, yeah.
Sheringham's header, what a turn.
And that was the game, wasn't it?
That was it. That was the game to remember.
There's normally a game.
Even if you win one.
There's normally a game where everything clicks.
Yeah.
And with us, we beat Ukraine 4-0.
Yeah.
That was a game where it all clicked.
Yeah, because before then, everyone was talking about it being a bit sort of chancy.
Yeah. And suddenly it all clicks and it's fine, everything builds. But then, you know, people are bumping in, and that led to violence.
Yeah.
There's people who spent hundreds of pounds on tickets who can't sit in their own seat.
Yeah, yeah.
There's people with weapons in the stadium. It's just...
Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's just a bad... And if that had been in Italy, it would have been much better policed, partly because their fans are as bad, if not worse, than ours.
Yeah, yeah.
They've just got better policing.
Yeah.
The idea that you can just rock up and push your way into Wembley.
Hope for the best.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't think that happened in the 21st century.
It's absolute madness.
It's a basic thing with, like you say, about sort of people being stupid, people being horrible. If you don't have a plan to look after people, bad things happen.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
This is not, you know, that's not, that shouldn't be as political a statement as it's become.
You've also got the just pure greed as well, because some of Rudy's mates got in by just giving money to the stewards.
Yeah.
And stewards were taking it as... Again, bad, but sort of understandable.
Yeah.
They're making thousands on the day, Stuart.
Thank you, Marshall.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I'll give you some money.
Also, there is an element of the fact that people have forgotten how to go out a little bit.
Yeah, but exactly. There's definitely an
These
element.
These youngsters on the train, it was like they were pretending. It's like they'd seen it. What does Brian Cox say in the Bourne... supremacy, so you talk about this stuff like you read it in a book.
Yeah.
And those guys on the train, it's like they'd seen a picture once of what people who are having a good time on a train are supposed to be like.
And there's definitely a sort of post-pandemic summer semi-riotous vibe to it all as well. It's this sort of like perfect storm of energy and stuff and release, but not release because it's also confused, you know. So
absolutely.
It was... but that still shouldn't distract from... Overall, a decent tournament. I really loved it.
Like you say, the sense of the
cheers, bro.
The underdog and the plucky heroes is kind of, it fits the post-tournament narrative, you know, that people are coming together. You know, they've been forced to, and it's very sad because of, like, you know, open and offensive racism. But to see the community rise up and not stand for that.
Yeah, no,
you know,
no.
The impromptu
it's lovely about
demonstration
and
by the repainted mural of Rashford. This is
it's
literally Britain at its best.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, entirely provoked by Britain at its worst.
Simultaneously Britain. And so on a personal level, you try and do everything you can. So before the game, you know, everyone's, you know, there's racist abuse aimed at the people who miss penalties and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm chatting to that West Indian guy as you came up.
Yeah.
Talk about the football.
Yeah.
Hands across the bar. He just wants to slag off Southgate for making the decision that gave them the penalties in the first place. He had no interest in discussing race.
No, no.
It was just Southgate made the wrong calls, which is because I look at it and like...
But also like the Marina Hyde was saying, Southgate can and does then get up next day and say, it's my bad, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Which
totally.
Is really, you know, for anyone
totally.
In any position of authority to backpedal in that way. I mean, because the guys in power don't do it. He will never admit any kind of mistake.
He will, yeah, but part of the reason, if you do in the current environment, you get absolutely slammed, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a little bit different. I mean, for me, football's it sounds too simple to say. It's kind of, it's just football, which also means that I think we just mass project into it, don't we? Everything we've got.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I probably project.
Well, it's a lens, isn't it? It's a lens for an individual, and it's a lens for a country. That's right.
I probably project deep psychological.
But that doesn't mean those things aren't true, you know.
Yeah.
Every picture, every artistic portrayal, every actor's role is a self-portrait.
Yeah.
So the very simplicity of football means that...
It means we can project into it.
Yeah, and that paints a very clear picture of where the country's at.
But after the game, immediately after the game, I didn't make the connection at all about the race of the people and penalties, etc. I just don't see it. I'm not seeing that at all.
You haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's just really weird. But obviously people do. It's crazy. And the leap to make that connection.
Yeah.
It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, you've kind of got to be... you've got to be looking for it, haven't you? You've got to be waiting for it. You've got to be thinking it already.
Yeah, it's... it's really... It's a real shame, you know.
Yeah. It's funny,
So we just got...
It's my... it doesn't really mean anything. It's my daughter's birthday next week.
Yeah.
And I just remember the summer when she was born.
Yeah.
And she was late.
Right.
And we really enjoyed all the sport. And then it finished.
Yeah.
And she still wasn't born for another couple of weeks. It was like, oh, I wish we still had the sport. And I think I expected to feel like that after. I'm saying this in a kind of oblique way because I'm ashamed to be including Wimbledon in my own perspective.
Yeah.
But often
there's
a real space left in my life. And this year I just kind of think, we can all just move on now. You know, that was that.
Well, I kind of felt like this. That. I love football, but I felt like that, and my family did as well. It's just like, wow, let's move on.
So we'll draw a line under that.
We'll draw a line. Let's try and learn our lessons from it.
Yeah, no, I say, we'll draw a line and forget it all.
Let's move on, you know. Part of that so the drinking can stop as well during the big games. I didn't drink much during the tournament, but during the big games I did. And what with that, and when you're on painkillers and you're two-thirds anyway.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a perfect storm.
Yeah, yeah. And then luckily you went to that. It wasn't so much a hospital, was it? It was more of a small moon. Actually, it wasn't a small moon. It was a space station.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you met that guy with the asthma and the laser sword. And he stuck
very,
you.
Very expensive trip.
Luckily, though, when he did your root canal, you became more powerful than he could possibly imagine.
But we also had as well... My son managed to... This is my son, bless him, in all his glory. He's at that age. He's always been a bit like this, where he just loses things. So he's coming back from work. He's got a job working at BrewDog in Paddington.
Yeah.
Trying to get some money together. And he gives me a ring late on Saturday night. I've messed up so hard. He didn't use the phrase messed up. I've messed up so hard. I said, why? He said, I've lost my rucksack with my laptop, my wallet, and my passport in it.
Yeesh.
How did that happen? Oh, I don't know. I went from McDonald's after work and I just left it there. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, we've all done it.
He only realised when he was on the train and he saw a kid with the same bag as him. And then...
Well, that's like my bag.
Yeah, he's kind of... it's that distraction thing, is it? We've all had it. I mean, I had it the other week when I lost my phone at the services.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying before we started recording, the fact that you lost your phone the other week really undermined your parental position on this whole issue.
Sometimes you get to a state of mind and who knows whether... The football was part of it, this permanent distraction or painkillers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where eating and looking after your stuff become too much.
Yeah,
that's right. It's like...
No, it's true. Weird. This is when we make mistakes, you know. I noticed, I remember us meeting here for a run one stressful week and I was happy.
Yeah.
But it was all going on and that was when I fell over.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the things are connected. It's losing motor skills because one's brain is full of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like tournaments are like that for countries, aren't they? They become this filter, this thing that was spiralling down. And by the end, you know, we'd never been in a final in 55 years.
Yeah.
It was just too much.
Wondering what it was like in other parts of the country because in London, and not just in London, but in London for 48 hours.
Yeah.
You could feel it. You know, what did they say that the other day that Japan had called a state of emergency for the Olympics?
Yeah.
I could I kind of see that.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it?
It felt like that. It felt like it was an emergency.
It felt like no one could think of anything else.
And no one knew what to do with themselves.
No. No, it was...
So, fun times.
Fun times. It's only football.
A stranger thing for me was that it was very much a weekend of comedy and work and performance.
Oh, yeah?
I went and did a gig.
Oh, good for you.
Lighthouse Arts Centre Pool.
Like a gig-gig?
A gig-gig.
Oh, nice.
And I went to see a gig by my... By Jared Christmas and Hobbit, you know, they do a kids show with beatboxing that I directed for the Edinburgh Festival.
Nice.
And they're on tour, so I went back to have a look at that. And it's just, that was weird, because of course everything's happening in this bubble of what's going to happen at Wembley in the evening, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, my gig was great fun, and this was really good too, and it was really nice to, it was really useful for me to kind of objectively watch someone else's and see the kind of capital T truths that apply to both.
Right.
You know, i.e. lovely shows, everyone having a good time, but some, you know, they're basically social distancing.
Yeah.
Stopping, making certain rhythms unavailable.
Yes, yeah, totally. So when, talk me through the gig. How did you find it? Was it outside, indoors?
Well, it was my first stand-up gig of any kind in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it was a Lighthouse Arts Centre Pool, where I've been to before.
I've played there before.
Adrienne Cole. She says hello, by the way.
I've played there, yeah.
Brilliant
lovely,
compere.
Yeah.
She likes you.
Yeah, she's lovely.
And yeah, she's got a lovely
compere. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
She's very... thanks.
Cheers.
She's really relaxed and kind of approachable, you know, to the audience. She feels like one of them. But her basic... Oh, I just punched the nettle. Did I get stung? No.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. So yeah, she's really good because she's got that. She doesn't feel like she's doing anything, and she probably feels to the people in the audience like one of their mates has stepped on stage. But actually, she plays the space. She knows everyone's
name.
Good.
Yeah, she's really.
She improvises nicely. She segues in and out material. Good stuff. And she's also set up a really nice outside space.
Right.
They've got like a proper stage, really good sound. And then like a grassy amphitheatre.
Yeah.
With everyone brings picnic chairs and blankets and they sit about. Really lovely people. Lots of scope for interacting with them as individuals, you know, and having a bit of fun. You know, they're up for it, that kind of...
Yeah.
They had the trust for us to all have quite a good loose time of it, you know. Not that kind of loose.
And how many people were in?
That good a party.
How many people were in?
Like 100 people.
Right, okay.
Spread out, some of them sitting at the bottom of the amphitheatre, and then people sitting around the top of it.
See, that's a kind of... It's sort of... Sorry to jump in on your thing.
No.
It's a bit, feels a bit like society, doesn't it? Sort of there, but not there. There, but not there. Back, but not back. It's like 100 people outdoors, socially distanced.
Yeah.
It's not that easy, is it?
No. I'm suggesting. We'd walked into that gig
normally
a couple of years ago, we'd gone, ooh, this is going to be quite difficult.
Tough, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's but then there was the upside to that, because people do still this have this... they know they've got to bring something.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are people doing like the same gig and meeting audiences who are kind of going, well, impress me. And if that audience had said, well, impress me,
would have been really,
we'd have all had a horrible time.
Yeah.
As it was, they were lovely and it was really good and it was really nice riffing around it. And also, I kind of woke up on the day and got to the gig and I'd been kind of made a bit of a big deal of it. And when I got there, I was like, I've done this so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't find it in me for it to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, performance-wise, it's always good to find ways to, in the right way, to not care.
Yes, yeah, totally.
You know, to be really relaxed.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time.
Good.
It's absolutely great. And I felt like, you know, it was nice to see a couple of other newer acts.
Yeah.
You know, it just felt... I felt like the mature act at the gig,
right,
not in a way that was necessarily negative.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. I really enjoyed it. And
how did you find it in terms of like, was it like jumping into a familiar sort of hot bath kind of thing? Or was it sort of, in terms of rhythms, did you find your rhythm during the gig? Or?
I found my rhythm very easily.
Yeah.
I've been sort of really haranguing myself to try and move forward and be the comedian I am, or even the comedian I'm going to be now.
Right.
And so when I slipped into old habits I didn't want to slip into, I resented it.
Right.
But basically, felt good, felt really chilled
out.
And I noticed that I was sort of worried that I hadn't changed it enough, hadn't reinvented myself enough. Actually, they didn't care at all. If you've got something funny, say it, that's fine. But also, I had made some changes, and they're very subtle, and they're important.
So
it's kind of like tectonics.
Sort of reframings.
Yeah, slight reframing of my persona, really. So you've got to let that play.
Yeah, absolutely. Running.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So we're 1.5 times around the park. How are you feeling?
I feel all right, mate.
Let's roll on.
Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Clissold Park, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah, Clissold Park.
It's a beautiful morning. It's nice.
This is the first time we've met since the famous Golden Stag Mile.
Yeah, we met. Well, it's all kinds of context, and I'm sure we talked about some of that when we were there. I don't remember, but what we did do was just get a snatch of us before and after the Golden Stag. So let's hear that now.
Steve,
can you hear that ambiance?
Sort of blending in with all the other claps. We're here at the Golden Stag Mile. There's a guy with a sound system giving us that kind of Grand Prix vibe, and we're watching. I think this is race 5 and we're race 7, so we haven't got money, we haven't got long.
Tell them what I look like, Paul. Tell them what's happening right now.
Mr. Deering is putting on his race number, his topless.
I'm topless.
Teasing. Topless and teasing.
Topless in Finsey Park.
Yeah.
They said it would never happen.
I'm nursing a extremely painful toothache that I've had for like 10 days.
Is there anything
I've been able to fix it? I couldn't get emergency treatment in Devon. So I'm kind of...
Have you got an appointment now?
Yeah, I've got one on Monday.
Oh, then
I've just got to last on Monday, but it's sort of like... It's one of those that sort of...
Oh, just 2 more days of constant pain?
That's sort of taken over half your head.
You know? It's just oppressive, isn't it, when pain is in your head?
I don't know how many painkillers to take while running as well, so... I've decided to take
They
loads.
Say ibuprofen is contraindicated, isn't it? But you went with it, did you?
I've been taking cocodamol and ibuprofen.
Well, so what are you saying that you don't think it's going to be your best performance today?
No, I've got no idea. I'm looking forward to it. But I might just start crying. I don't know.
Could be
I'm
both.
I'm in pain now. I'm in pain.
I can tell you. See,
and I ended up running 8 miles with Pavey yesterday. Which I really didn't want to do. I thought we'd just run about 6, but anyway.
Big finish. Well, what's happening, Paul? Can you see?
That was a sprint finish.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's the way to do it.
Are you getting the? Are you feeling the vibe?
Well, it's just scaring me. You know, we were talking about this in the week when I got out of onto the grid because my holiday was completely Wi-Fi free.
Yeah.
I've just got no history with this, have I? This is just...
Yeah. It's a shot in the dark for you.
You said it'd be
fun. It's a bungee jump.
It'd be fun for you. It'd be like Sports Day. It's like, Sports Day used to scare the living bejesus out of me. And that's... You're absolutely exactly right. That's what it feels like up here. Sports Day.
Yeah.
And I've got no complaints. I'm very happy to give it a go anyway.
Yeah, it'd be good
fun. It's an odd time of day to run. For me.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's like must be like that for tennis players and footballers.
Yeah.
I like to do a bit of exercise in the morning and then do nothing for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm like that.
I've had a week, I've been doing loads of running this week and loads of gentle running. So,
I've been doing bits and bobs. And I had a really nice run with Pavey yesterday. She's such a sweetheart. I mean, we'll talk about it, and obviously we'll
listen to
it. I was
going to say, no plot spoilers.
No.
Because there's that massive secret she tells you, isn't there?
No, but one thing that did happen afterwards is that she managed, and this isn't in the podcast, so we can talk about it. She managed to lock herself out of the car.
Oh, no.
When we got back to the car park for
brilliant,
the run.
Brilliant.
Which put another hour on my day in terms of travel. because she was so... She's just a very funny, gentle person. So that was really good fun.
Yeah. The whole experience or the actual locking
out of
the car?
Just the whole thing was lovely, yeah.
Well, I had such a nice week's running. It's in the latest, again, I'll probably tell you more about this next week.
Yeah.
But I just ran every morning because I normally do the 16-8.
Yeah.
And it's a hotel with a breakfast and evening meal. I wasn't going to miss breakfast, particularly as I was there with my son.
Yeah.
So I was getting up at 6 of the first 2 days. And I was getting up at 5:30.
Yeah.
And every day I thought, well, if I don't want to, I just turn over and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And in the event, I always wanted to. And the run around the valley there was just amazing.
Nice.
What I
want
to know today is whether...
Good luck, mate. Good luck, brother.
Hiya.
Don't worry.
Before and after.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
Man.
Support earlier. You guys have made my year. Really.
Oh, good
That's
on
really
you.
Kind of you.
I've hated it. This is great.
Yeah, man, a bit
absolutely.
Of company.
Have fun, man. Have fun.
I will put my top back on, I promise. Yeah, I don't know where
this is probably the
seen.
Race. This is probably the race we should be in. It's only now I realise that when people enter these races, they vastly underestimate the time they can do so that
they
can get
all
in
of
the
them.
Race with a chance
not
of
all of them, eh, Paul?
Yeah, well, not us, no. Not
well,
us.
I can put this on now, and I can't do that with the recorder. No one wants to see my chums. So should we break this and talk
absolutely.
Afterwards?
Yeah,
we'll what do you think? What are you predicting?
I hope to get somewhere near 6 minutes.
He's got
and I hope
nothing.
To just
He's got
no compete.
Idea.
But no idea, really. Because
Adrian told me what to
Hello,
do.
Mate, good to
she
see.
Said, find what feels good.
Yeah, find what
We've
feels
We've got to go.
Good.
That's race number 7.
Okay, cool.
We've got to go.
We.
Whoa. Well, oh, we're God. Good to you because we've started recording pretty much as soon as possible after the race, and I don't feel good. How do you feel? Toothache aside.
I feel pretty bad. Yeah, I feel pretty... We, Deering broke the duck with Tonkinson, which is great to see. Out in front, eating dust.
Yeah, we came... I was second last.
Yeah. And I was last. And it was...
But you always bit off more than we could chew by booking us in for sub 6. I realised that kind of halfway around. I thought, wait a minute, of course everyone's faster than me. They're all expecting to go sub 6.
No, but we did the first lap in about 83, 84. And that's 5:40 on
Yeah, but you're going to be 4 of those.
Yeah. And then we went through in 3 minutes on the half. We just lost a bit of strength. And when we did that 5K time trial about a year ago, you did 6 on the first mile. We both did 6 together. So it sort of shows how much you've lost and how stressful it is simultaneously.
Yeah, and I also think that it's great that you booked us in for it because I reckon if we could book us in with the 6.5 minutes, we'd still come kind of double.
We'd have fallen to...
you're following. So
tell me how you found it, because that was newer for you than it was for me. I mean, I found
it
a bit of a
nightmare. Yeah, I was very scared about the whole business. You know, like saying the guy right before the beginning said, you all know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I said, I don't.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, I was the lowest number. So, man, I started inside.
Yeah.
Because I lost time when people were overtaking me, because I was like, I wanted to stop and go, sorry, let them in.
Yeah.
And also trying to smile and wave at people, passers by and stuff. You know, I just, it's so outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But equally, it's still just running.
Yeah, of course.
Nice people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So as I realised everyone was getting away from me, I thought, well, they're faster than you. That's okay.
Yeah.
We're here to run less than 6 minutes. It was like when you said...
Run as fast as you can, innit? Yeah.
2 laps and we'd done it in 3. I thought, well, that's all right then, isn't it? And I tried to hold on. But of course, by then it was really hurting. Just before then, right round the far side of the track, right in the corner there, which obviously deliberately placed himself. It was a very supportive guy calling out to everyone. And he said, as we went past him a second time, stay relaxed, get ready to hurt.
Yeah.
What fantastic advice that was.
Yeah.
I really heard it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I got straight to the inside track to go through the first lap, but I just didn't have anything in my legs, really. I just never felt I was sort of competing in it. But it's such a shock to the system when you haven't done that for so long, isn't it? It's such a different pace and sort of tempo of just existing, isn't it?
It's a really good effect, that good for me, that around going into the last lap, a fan of the show said, he's catching you up. So I don't want that pressure, but I don't think
he wasn't though. I don't think I was. No, I don't think I was. What time did you do? You won't have been far off.
6:09.
Right. 6:09. Okay. Cool.
So yeah, I'm pleased with that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
I mean, I'm pleased on paper. In practice, I'm very unhappy with that because it made me feel very, very bad.
Yeah,
my throat hurts.
Yeah, it's very intense. Yeah, it's a very intense experience. Really good fun, though. Really nice atmosphere.
Well, thanks for sorting it out.
Yeah, man. It was good. I was good. I was pleased that you came along.
Yeah. Well, what's a different way of saying my pleasure? Well, that was my discomfort.
My extreme pain and discomfort.
The Golden Stag.
Yeah, Golden Stag happens every year. It's a great event
for
all standards. There's people. It's important to say there's people doing the mile in like 10 minutes and stuff. There's people.
Yeah,
massive,
it just
really
goes right
wide.
Through all ages. It's a real community thing. It's excellent. Yeah. Good event. So there we are. I think I'd be quite amused when I'm producing this to hear just the before and after sound of our voices, because I don't know about you, just to pluck one moment out of that incredible adventure. I was in a right state afterwards. I coughed steadily for about 24 hours.
Did you really?
And when we were talking that just then,
yeah.
I was just in a kind of combination
sort of
physical and kind of existential pain.
Yeah, it was a really fun rendezvous with reality.
Yeah.
It was like...
You say reality, but then it all stemmed. And we knew what we were doing, but it all stemmed from you saying, 600 miles.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you pointed out quite late on, those people there were like saying, I'll be able to run a mile easily in under 6 minutes, and then let's see what we can do after that.
Yeah.
So we kind of booked ourselves a place at the back of the pack.
Well, no, I just forgot the fundamental rule about entering those kind of races that are time-based.
Yeah.
It's just like people who can run a 5:40 mile want to win a race.
Yeah.
So they don't go in with the people who can run faster than 5:40. They go in with the people who think they can run a 6-minute mile.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they can win that race.
Exactly. And that was absolute moment for me doing it. And I really, sorry if I'm repeating myself because I know exactly what I said afterwards, but, I wasn't warmed up. I hated that it was in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
I felt that kind of absolute discomfort in my skin. I felt like my shoulders were up around my ears. I felt like the numbers were too tight. And I was like, hadn't done...
Disgruntled.
Hadn't done my exercises or my
yoga for a week. Profoundly inconvenienced by the whole thing.
Yeah. And I set off, but I still felt... It's just that weird thing of it being... simultaneously, it's a long way, and it totally isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a really short race.
It's a short race at that pace. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, we might as well... I don't even know whether we mentioned it in the race report. I was last by distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were ahead of me.
Your time was 6:23.
Yeah.
And my time was actually just under 6:09.
Right.
Which, I couldn't have hoped for anything better.
No.
And that was a moment in the race when I set off. I was very lucky because they put me, a very simple thing, but they put me right against the inside of the track. Furthest from the start line. You know, they've got that curving white line.
Yes, yeah.
Evens everyone out. So I didn't have to get past anyone.
Yeah.
And the people overtook me. It's quite aggressive, isn't it? They didn't say we want a clean race and stuff.
No.
People overtake pretty convincingly.
Pretty sharp.
The funny thing about that is, it just took all my complete inexperience with this kind of thing. It just took all my effort to not literally stop and go, sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
But anyway, the big moment I keep alluding to and not getting to is that I suddenly realised that I wasn't in a race with those guys.
Yeah.
And I was trying to run it as fast as I could. You know, the guy who ran it did 5:22.
Yeah, yeah. So he's in the wrong race.
Yes, he is. Yeah. But it also, he's not in a race with me, is he?
No. It's just not,
yeah. That's not where it happens. Yeah. And of course, as long-term listeners will know, sub 6:10 minute mile. I mean, you lay claim to me running a 6 minute mile, but A, there's no evidence of that anywhere, and B, I was in Vaporflies.
Yeah.
Which weren't allowed at this.
Which definitely obviously make a difference.
No, of course, they're making 10 seconds of difference on the mile, apparently.
Well, no, because we definitely went through in six during a 5K time trial.
Yeah.
Well over a year now, so.
Yeah.
But it was, we did the first lap in 85 seconds, and that's right at the back of the field.
Yeah.
And that equates to 5:40 mile pace.
Yeah.
So even while trying to not set off too fast, it's nigh impossible not to do so.
Yeah, I didn't try not to set off too fast because I just wanted to go as fast as I can for as long as I could.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I was going to get the time, you know.
Yeah.
And I think also with those, you know, feet at the beginning, like you say, I passed the clock. Bang on 3 minutes at the end of the second lap.
Yes, yeah.
Come around the second lap, and I was thinking, they say this really hits in the third lap.
Yeah.
I thought, ha ha, fooled you. Because with me, it's the second lap.
Right.
I feel like I'm going to die. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, a couple of seconds longer that first lap, hit, yeah, I mean, literally seconds, but still, hit 3 minutes on two laps. So that means that my six and a bit, I didn't lose much pace in the second half.
No, you didn't, no. You didn't. You lost 85. Yeah, you lost about 10 seconds in the second lap and then about 8 over the next two laps, which is really strong.
Yeah. So, and I think that I would really like, we are going to go out and try and do it again because I think doing it in the morning, doing it in Vaporflies, and doing it with music, running without music, it's very tough for me.
Yeah.
I think I could do it, but then, of course, that was the whole ridiculousness of it, this wonderful kind of, like you say, it's like, closest things, it's like a sports day.
Yeah.
Wonderful sense
it
of community.
It is an enjoyable event, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and but it is, it's a subgroup of society, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got all these people, the fact that you can kind of dip in and out, it's full of families.
Yeah.
Also full of really keen runners.
Yes.
And of course, keen runners of all abilities, which is lovely.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really, really nice. I really enjoyed coming last.
So, so broken.
Yeah.
And of course, and I meant to say this earlier, it was so lovely. Your interview with Joe Pavey, we had so much good response to that. And quite right, too, because it was great. It was really nice.
It was a proper episode
of Running Commentary because, of course, she's a legend. But she's, you know, she's just so open and chatty.
Oh, she was such a wonderfully
wide-ranging discussion.
Open person, yeah.
Yeah.
And then after the podcast.
And I thought it was nice to hear you. You were obviously weren't going to go in there and say, I'll tell you something else about me, Joe.
Yeah.
But you have plenty of... Thanks.
Thank you.
You've got common ground as runners.
Yeah.
So it was nice to hear that side of dialogue and hear your side of things, you know.
I just wanted to get as much as we could out of it.
But the reason I mention it now, the reason I've remembered to say all that, is because you went into that Golden Stag. You were more than a week into a terrible toothache at that point. And you'd been all around Britain and driving around... And, you also did a good job with that. I mean...
Well, the steady five with Joe ended up being a moderately paced eight.
Yeah, we know from experience when we interview people on the towpath who are fit.
Yeah, it's really
on us to turn around. And any extra distance you do, it's, of course, instantly double.
And then I drove to... sorry, mate. Then I drove to Worcester to do a gig that night, which had been cancelled, but of course I didn't know because I didn't know my phone. So I mean, basically an empty cricket ground in Worcester. So where's the gig on? You know, I fired up the Wi-Fi on my laptop. Well, did you not get my message?
Yeah. You said gigs come back aren't going to be quite the same, but that's taking that to extremes.
This is quiet.
They're not like they used to be. These are the audiences, and microphones, other people.
But she was lovely, and then after the podcast, she rather charmingly managed to lock herself out of a car because we took a photo, which put another hour and a bit on my day driving because I drove back to her house, bless her. But she couldn't have been a sweeter person.
Yeah.
And that thing of real gentleness of a lot of really good runners, concealing an incredible inner steel.
Yeah, that's right.
She is so tough.
I think the very best runners, particularly distance runners, it's like they know how to conserve energy, and that includes
off. That includes off.
Includes
the pitch.
It like in life.
Yeah,
you know
I sort of agree. They've just got no interest in any kind of bulginess at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked a little bit off show about
stuff that we shouldn't mention in the podcast. Yeah.
Well, no. about a disappointment at the culture around drugs in her sport.
Yeah,
et
yeah, of course, yeah.
And she's had to shoulder that with grace for years, knowing that people, we talked about it a bit in the podcast, but people she knows using, racing against her.
Yeah, yeah.
Denying
that's right.
her podium places, denying her income.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's she's
just dealt with it with grace, you know.
Type of, it's bravery, it's grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she's, you know, it's a. There's serenity there.
No, she really is a very, very impressive person.
But yeah, you were pretty broken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was, for some reason, I don't know whether it was my adrenaline or immunity sort of dropping. It felt like the tooth pain was intensifying as the race got closer. I was alternating ibuprofen and cocodamol, like Smarties as it approached. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I felt really tired. I felt drained.
Yeah.
But good fun. Yeah, a race is a race.
Did you feel it though? I mean, what was your sort of lap by lap? Were you just getting your head down?
It was 85 for the first.
Yeah.
3-1 the second, which meant I dropped, you know, 20 seconds in the last two laps. I just had no strength at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no fight. I had no.
Your legs haven't been doing that, have they? I mean, you said.
My legs haven't been doing that.
On the day you said you felt it in your legs.
Spiritually, I didn't. I just wasn't there. I had this idea that I'd lock everything, that I'd do 10 fast steps and then repeat 10 fast steps to, you know, try and get some tempo.
Yeah, yeah.
I could barely count to 10. it was like, I was going to do like a condensed Radcliffe, you know, she does like 70 strides.
Yeah.
But I was just
in a way, it's a bit like when I've played Celebrity Poker. Something about my mindset in particular can turn naivety into power.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't know what I was doing out there and I felt terrible. But I do know how to start running and keep running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I didn't have any ambitions. I didn't know how fast my laps were. I wasn't counting my steps. Do you know what I mean?
And you've also got that strength of all the great stuff, your upper body stuff and the yoga and
yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's all there. It's fantastic.
I did say I won. Again, I'm sure I said this to you after the race, but I've been thinking about it ever since. The guy, I would assume that he's a runner who can't do it for some reason, like injury or whatever, because he's so, just one guy, but so involved and so in touch with the event. And he was at the right of the 200 metres from the finish line, so tucked into the outfield there, which of course you realise is the perfect spot to support
see,
and to watch.
To see the drama.
And he, as I went past him, I think the second time, he said, "Stay relaxed, get ready to hurt." And I love that. It's just a fantastic little bit of, you know, particularly the fact there was no juxtaposition there. He's not saying you can either relax or be hurt. He's saying you're going to be relaxed and you're going to hurt, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. There is a purity to the track that I really like.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you did it.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. I think it's an interesting experience.
Yeah, obviously, it was your idea, and I liked embracing that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did go out the next day.
Yeah, and you did your 20 the next day,
20,
didn't you?
Yeah.
So how was that going?
That was great. It was a fantastic, really fantastic week's different exercise, you know?
Yeah.
So I did 6 miles every day before breakfast in the lakes.
Right.
So 5 days.
Yeah.
Did my 30 miles.
Brilliant.
And I was running, you know, it wasn't a terrible trail, but my favourite run started up a proper hill.
Yeah.
And then was over, was traily, watch your feet, rocky paths.
Right.
For 2-3 miles. And then I came back up the road. And the reason I mention that is because I had such a steady pace.
Yeah.
It was a really slow pace. I mean, I have no complaints about it. But it was like this, you know, it was, I think, I was averaging 12, 25 miles.
Right.
Which, over the rocks and stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
But I was kind of proud of myself for just, it didn't change when I hit the road, you know what
right.
I mean? So again, it's finding different ways of using this.
Just strength.
This straight, the simple chug that my running machine seems to have, you know?
Yeah.
And great, I think pretty good. And then walking all day. So yeah. Going back and then walking. And then just me and my son was really stepped up because he wasn't very well. And we were doing good 10, 12 mountain miles every day.
So you're gonna come back from that refreshed and strong, aren't you?
Yeah. And I didn't do any press-ups or planking or yoga.
Right.
And I really enjoyed the freshness. I didn't enjoy not doing them, but I didn't have time, didn't give myself a hard time.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed coming back to them last week.
Yes.
And then I had after the 20, I had an easy week last week. I didn't do more than 15 miles. I think I did two runs, 6, 7, 8 miles each.
Yeah.
And did my exercises, but not quite as much. I kind of eased back in with those as well.
Yeah.
And because the weekend really took it out of me. I could feel, I never knew whether it was the 20 or the Golden Stag. It's obviously both.
Yeah.
But I could feel.
How did the 20 feel?
Yeah, so.
It's as long as you've run for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it was a bit of a step up. I mean, I think I did a 15, 16, but it was, I haven't done like an 18.
Yeah.
And it was also, that was weeks ago, you know.
Yeah.
So basically, it was, again, quite. People who actually live near mountains and, you know, our friend who goes up into the dales every weekend would laugh at me, but I was up and down and through the woods and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I came up and did Queenswood and Highgate Wood.
Right.
And then I went across and went round Hampstead Heath.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then I did the whole thing in reverse.
Right.
And I think I tired, basically, because it was so far.
Yeah, of course.
But I think that tired me out, too.
Yeah.
And it was quite rainy as well. Rain came in quite hard. Anyway, long story short, felt good. But the key element of training was that I was done.
Yeah.
From about 15 miles.
Yeah.
I was absolutely spent.
I bet you were finished
spent.
Off, yeah.
And it was just making that decision to keep running.
Yeah.
Every step for the last five miles and get home and get a nice drink.
Well done.
And I did,
well
that's,
done.
That's the training, isn't it?
That
you know?
Is it. That's it. Yeah.
It was a lot like a marathon, really.
Yeah.
And hanging in there, and quite jolly. I didn't mind it. I was, because I knew what was coming, you know.
Yeah.
But I basically had to take a week off.
Well, so. you're gonna be tired from that. But and also, we haven't discussed the release of your great book, which I've been really enjoying reading.
Ah.
Because you gave me a copy.
Yeah.
First of all, it looks great. There's something about the design and the title and stuff. It just feels really cool.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know whether it's late 70s or early 80s or whatever it is. I don't know. It just feels great.
Well, it's Saul Bass. I said I want it to be like a Saul Bass film titles or film poster. You know, like that.
He
did The Man with the Golden Arm and Vertigo and stuff.
It's definitely got that feel to it.
Yeah.
So I really like that. I'm really enjoying reading it. I'm dipping into it, not sequentially. I'm kind
of that's fine.
Mixing
it's
and matching
that kind
it.
Of book.
And it's... You really get you know. You really get your way of expressing yourself and sort of different rhythms and expressions, and it's very sensitive and insightful. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really enjoying it.
It's such an exciting time.
Yeah, of course.
You know, last week, for goodness sake, we had the holiday, we had the Golden Stag, we had the 20 miles, my books arrived.
Yeah.
I went and signed 500 copies of my book.
Nice.
Or someone got in touch and said, how do I get a signed copy of your book? Through the Unbound website, they're sold out, so I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm working on it.
That's great.
And then it was the football,
yeah.
It was the tennis.
Yeah, there's so much going on.
It was just one of those weeks.
It was amazing.
All happening.
Yeah.
But I was so thrilled to have you read the book. There's a little corollary. There was a friend of the show who was totally reasonably and almost predictably thinking of the Golden Stag.
Yeah,
as a race between you and me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just don't think that really catches where we're at. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's so nice that now that my book exists, to feel how it's just different to your book.
Yeah, totally.
In a way that it should be, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's.
Don't get me wrong. Your book wins.
Don't be stupid. it's just great that you.
No, it wins because it came first.
It's great that you did it and got it out, and that it represents you. You know.
Yeah.
And did you go to bookshops to sign it, or what? What was the story?
No, I went to where they print them.
Right, okay, cool.
Because particularly in, I think in any time, but particularly in these times.
Yeah, of course.
It makes it a lot easier for logistically to move the thing around.
Yeah.
apparently, the Unbound had a signing gate last year where someone said, "Yeah, just They said, well, just send them to your house and you sign them there. And, you know, it's the number that needs to be signed is dictated by the process at that point. Anyway,
yeah.
In lockdown, yeah, this other author just suddenly ended up with their mate living space, which yeah. is full,
yeah,
full of books.
Yeah, of course.
There's something karmic about that. So excited about my book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, I can't get away from my book.
Swamped by your own book.
So, yeah, I went on a special trip.
Yeah.
Which was a thrill.
What a nice feeling as well. To have a book out, to have like the best of you out there like that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes down to it, there's a lot of, I always refer to it as blackmail, but I think a nicer way to put it is finding external ways to put yourself out there, you know?
Yeah.
I love doing that Golden Stag Mile because all I had to do for that to happen was to say yes to you.
Yeah.
And I never would have done it.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to.
Yeah.
But of course I went and did it because I knew it would be an adventure, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And then the book, I wanted to write my book all along, but it wasn't just something to fill my time with in lockdown. It was the opposite. It was using the situation to force myself to write it.
Yes.
And that, in turn, gave me the freedom I needed to... You know, there's a lot of me in there.
Yeah, there absolutely
is. As an artist, I've never been a major sharer of the Deering experience.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean...
I'm still scared, obviously.
Like, in stand-up, you express yourself, but you're geared by the laughter, and over time, you're shaped by what the audience laugh at, and that's it reveals you. It all reveals you.
Yeah.
But never as sensitively or intuitively as a piece of writing that you've got chance to really focus on does. It's just not going to do it, is it?
No.
You're trying to be... Should we go the other way?
Maybe the things...
You're the word in their ear, aren't you? You've been their best friend. It's an intimate dialogue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just us. That's right.
Yeah.
And I think, hopefully, maybe I was talking about a shift in my persona, you know. Maybe it's finally time to take the learnings of doing this podcast and write my book, and when I am on stage, just try and be as
talk them through it a bit
try
more.
And just try and be as honest about who I am as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not going to be getting autobiographical anytime soon.
Yeah. But that's it's lovely and an incredible week.
Also, what a time! What a time it was in that dawn to be alive.
I had a as an adjunct to that, I've become a school governor for a local primary school.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the first school governor meeting. Wow.
Wow.
Talk about a marathon.
Was it like the one, the one that went viral?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, though. We had an incredibly pedantic clerk who was there to record everything right.
Yeah.
It was just...
Is that their name?
Yeah, it was just...
And this is pedantic clerk?
I was hungover. I had a really bad toothache, and we just found out that Rudy had got COVID. Yeah. That wasn't the best out of mine, but I had to do it. 2 hours. 2 hour Zoom meeting. Is that representative? It's quite long, isn't it? It was all I could do to
get... Long for anyone. It's certainly long for someone who doesn't go to meetings.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. In at the deep end. But interesting and fascinating. I'm looking forward to doing it. I'm really looking forward to it. It was just a bit of a baptism by Zoom.
I was on Zoom, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeesh.
It was a Zoom. It was a Zoom app. It was a 2 hour Zoom.
Yeah.
But that's going to be good fun this next year, actually.
Yeah. And talking of this next year, I want to pull focus to right now. Well, which do you want to talk about first? A really long race or quite a short race?
The long race.
Okay, so Jules Dalyell, I don't know if you pronounce that Z or not, Jules, but Jules Dalyell did the Race of the Stones on Saturday.
He did the 100K, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And, well done.
Honestly, of any...
That was lovely, wasn't it?
Always tempted. It's always interesting. We, as people know, we've been flirting with the idea of ultras, but of course, we've
managed to avoid it.
Dipped into the Race of the Stones, haven't we?
Because
we did the Race of the Stones special back in the archive. We went there. We ran from somewhere very picturesque, it was Barbary Castle, and did the last
sort of
7 miles, but then did it back. So we did a good long run.
Yeah.
And experienced key parts of the course. And by goodness,
it's beautiful,
fantastic.
Isn't it?
And also those miles, they just slip past under your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously in the end, you know, whenever we talk about ultras, there's going to be a massive amount of people who have actually done coming on and giving it a bit of, I think you'll find.
Yeah, of course, of course.
We know what we don't know.
It was lovely to get but his sort of photo essay of the event,
oh,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
At different
stages.
And you
can see how it's going to work. And yeah. I don't know, he did the full 100K in one day.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's different now. I remember when we did our special, it was like
you could do
50K.
Days.
Yeah. Or you do 50K 2 days, stay the night and run back, or do the 100K in one day.
Yeah.
And I think of all potential events, I think the middle version of that, 100K over 2 days, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
In those big soft hills where you're not particularly looking at ascent and descent, and yet you've got that huge space, you know, Cotswolds there, the Ridgeway, and it's like the South Downs, and also like when we did that walk in Osmotherley, you're running Osmotherley's like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just high country.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's the best.
No, you had a good run. Yeah, that was lovely to see.
So well done, Jules. Congratulations.
Inspiring. And what about the short race?
Oh, I'm doing and I was talking to Mark in Worthing about this, because he did a 10K on the beach at the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm doing 10K, run through 10K around Olympic Park on Saturday.
Oh, nice. That'd be
so,
good fun.
What do you think?
What time? First off, it's a time to get the old vapor flies out.
Yes.
And it's a time to...
just cheat my way around with those.
It's a time to stick on...
to be banned.
can we rock?
Yeah.
It's a time to stick on the sounds... It's a time to stick on the sounds, isn't it?
Yeah, to properly do... I mean,
and just get into your zone, isn't it?
In contrast to the Golden Stag, I can...
Run it like you want to run it.
Frank Sinatra actually got in touch the other day and he said, do it your way.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
And, yeah.
As mission statements go.
And, you know, I feel like it's partly deliberately, partly by accident. I've been doing the training. You know, I've got a lot of mileage, a little bit of pace, but I'm quite well rested as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was your last... 10K timing. What did you do?
That's 2 years ago, the Shoreditch one, yeah?
Yeah.
It wasn't quite a PB, but it was pleasingly close.
Right.
It was 42 something.
Yeah.
And my PB, which is from years ago now, is 41.59.
Right. I think you're going to be close. I mean, it's like, you don't want to put too much pressure on it, do you? But it's like, if you're feeling fit and strong and you get there fairly well rested, what's your build-up to it like? What's happening in the sort of days before it?
Well, I'm doing I haven't got to do anything. I'm going out. I've got a date on Friday night, but that won't get too late.
Yeah.
And it might be difficult to not drink.
Right.
But I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And then it's a 9 o'clock start, which I can't complain about after complaining about the Golden Stag.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
That's...
And I know I don't know the course, but I know the place.
You know that area.
It's four laps.
Right.
Which I think is a good distance of lap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remembered that the other day. I was running
2.5 Ks, yeah.
Yeah, which is great because each one of those is a, you know, very manageable distance.
Yeah.
I remember
just
doing
when
we did the run through 10K in Victoria Park, that was three laps.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. People will find me ridiculous, but it's that thing of using the same model to experience things. You know, like using songs to do long planks.
Right.
I found that three-lap 10K was brilliant because I could trick myself into thinking it was a surreal park run.
Right.
And it's actually, little tip, twice as far. So, you know, I think that four laps is a really good number of laps.
Yeah.
And...
I think anywhere near and around 42, isn't it? I mean, it's just...
You're saying that the PB is in the frame. I've got to go out there and try and get it then, haven't I?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what tips? What do you think? What am I going to... I've got to not go off too fast, and I don't know how to do that, as we know.
Yeah.
Although I have been running... You know, I'm good at accessing steady pace when I'm running day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, what minute per mile is a 42-minute 10K?
A 42-minute, it's about...
Here come the maths.
Let's see. Well, 6.30 is 39... 6.30 miles is about 40 minutes and 45 50 seconds. It's pretty sharp. You're looking at about 6:35, 6:36 miles.
It is, you know, the reference, apart from the Golden Stag, the reference is to do a really good park run. And I mean, of
and
course,
then do another
because
one.
That's and do another one and maintain that pace.
But then
there is that. We know as comedians.
It can happen that, though.
The second 10 minutes of a 20 is much more accessible than the first 10 minutes of a 20.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah, you want to go through the first in about 2045 if you can.
Okay, gold, silver, bronze. Gold is a PB.
Yeah.
Silver, I mean, I think that's still ridiculous. I'm sort of flirting with that idea. So silver is basically a respectable time. Anything within the hinterlands of the last one I did. So we're talking anything between 42 and 44.
Yeah.
And bronze is sub 45.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. It's great, mate. It's great.
Well, we'll see. Running
with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.